Hi, I'm Ezra Gildeskind. You might know me from the Drupal Commons or the conference organizing distributions of Drupal, and this is episode 47 of the Modules Unravel podcast.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast, where the Drupal community speaks. And now your host, he loves just about every comic book movie, Brian Lewis.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast. My name is Brian Lewis, and today I have with me Ezra Gildeskind. Ezra is the engineering lead and a product manager for Acquia's Drupal distributions team. And I've got him on the show today to talk about the Drupal Commons distribution.
So yes, Ezra, it's the tar twister episode. We're doing well. Thanks for having me, Brian.
Good. Yeah, yeah. Hopefully I can edit that intro down so that it sounds like both of us said exactly what we needed to at the right time.
Right. And that we both know our own names.
Yeah. All right. Well, Ezra, do you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about who you are and where you're from?
Sure. So I live in the Park Slope neighborhood of Brooklyn, New York, and I have been involved in Drupal since 2006, originally maintaining a handful of different contributed modules, such as NodeQ, and then I was involved in the conference organizing distribution of Drupal, which powers many of the DrupalCamp sites and the DrupalCon websites, as well as a bunch of non-Drupal conferences around the world. And lately, I'm most active in the Drupal Commons project. My involvement there was working as the product manager at Acquia, so working with our awesome design team to redesign the product. And now I'm working on implementing that redesign on top of Drupal 7. And that's the version 3 of Drupal Commons that will be out in December.
Cool. We'll get into that in just a minute. But do you want to tell us how you got started with Drupal in the first place?
Sure. So I, you know, my background is that I've always had kind of like a computer technician kind of a role, something involving computers, consulting, technical work. And at a certain point, I decided that I wanted to switch my personal website to a new system. My website at the time was about, I was playing guitar, and it was about growing that guitar stuff. And I found Drupal in that search. I was evaluating some other systems. And it turned out that, you know, every question I had already been asked and answered. And I was really impressed with quality code and the community. And so I thought it would be more fun to get more professionally involved in Drupal.
Cool. All right. So what's the most recent project you've been working on?
Definitely Drupal Commons for the last several months. That's what I've been focused on almost exclusively.
Cool. Before we do jump into that, if there is anyone listening live, if you have any questions during the show, you can actually send a tweet using the hashtag MUP047. And I got a fancy lower third here in case you didn't catch that, MUP047. And we'll actually answer all of your questions at the end of the show. Or if you just have any comments about the way it works, you can do that as well. All right. So first off, Ezra, what is Drupal Commons?
So Drupal Commons is a distribution of Drupal, and I feel like it's helpful to just pause and explain what that means before we talk about the features that it has and benefits and things like that. So Drupal is a tool for building websites and web applications, and when you install Drupal, you get the ability to make a website. So you know, you can configure it and maybe write some code, and depending on how complex your site is, with a few hours, a few days, a few weeks of work, you have a website. A Drupal distribution is a web application that's built on top of Drupal, but when you install it, out of the box, it's ready to fulfill a particular purpose. So usually these are purpose-built tools. For example, the conference organizing distribution, when you install that, you get a tool for building conference websites out of the box that handles things like you know, people signing up for the conference, proposing sessions, allowing session moderators to moderate those sessions, build a schedule, things like that. For Drupal Commons, Commons is more about building it's kind of a wider and broader use case. So when you have conference sites, the things that people need to do from conference site to conference site tends to be pretty specific. Community websites are kind of an interesting challenge because they have a lot of similar challenges, but the specific features between sites might differ. But Commons aims to take some of those the most difficult challenges for building a community website and provide tools that address those challenges out of the box so that you can spend time curating your community or interacting with your community members or adding, you know, maybe a feature that is really specific and unique to your site without spending time reinventing the wheel.
Okay. So I noticed on the Commons project page at drupal.org/project/commons, it says it provides a complete social business software solution for organizations. Yeah. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, that's a tough. It's maybe a marketing term. It's an accurate term. It does describe an actual class of software. Social business software tends to describe applications like Yammer and Jive, which are applications that generally big business organizations sign up for so that their employees can collaborate. Often, those programs are used for intranets, and so you know I have 100,000 people or 10,000 people in my company, and I want them to be able to share information and have a collaboration space, not unlike Facebook, but one that's private to my company. So that's what social business means. And in Acquia, that's where we see, and that's where we're most actively involved in helping Commons compete in the market. Commons comes in and is a Drupal-powered alternative to these proprietary vendors. Hmm. So, you know, if you sign up for a Yammer or a Jive, you're, you know, basically they're the vendor. They've got the code. It's not open source code. And it's also limited in its flexibility. If you've got a tool that's based on Drupal, you get some really great features, but you also get the ability to customize to the same extent that Drupal is known to be customizable, and you get to benefit from those tens of thousands of community add-on modules that you can add to your site, which is something that it's really difficult for the proprietary vendors to keep up with.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. So what kinds of features does Commons come with out of the box?
Sure. So the most fundamental part of Commons is that it's an organic group space site.
Okay.
And what that means is that people, community members on the site, can start groups that are centered around a particular interest. And that can be a geographic area. It can be a working goal. But people can form groups, and then anybody can go to these groups and post content into the group. And that content can be just kind of a broad post sharing some information, or they can do things like ask a question, and then people can vote on the best answer. Hmm. Or they can collaborate on a wiki, a collaborative document that anybody can edit. So that's what's at the heart of Commons. It's that kind of social collaboration space. But beyond that, there are a bunch of different benefits that you get from Commons that are applicable to, I think, a wider range of community sites. So things like a mobile-ready theme out of the box. Mm. So when you install Commons, the theme is responsive, which means that it works on a device, you know, devices of varying sizes. So rather than having to do a whole complex custom app implementation or perhaps like a dedicated mobile site that's separate from the main site, you go to your Commons site and it looks great on your iPhone, your Android, your tablet, your desktop, and any screen size in between. One of the things that's new in this version of Commons over the previous version, version 2, is a feature called active content. And so if, as a community member, if you're on a community site and there's thousands of people posting content, it can be really difficult to see which content is interesting and which content is valuable for you to look at. And there's a few different ways of approaching that challenge. A common thing that you'll see is to have the ability to vote up content. And that's definitely a useful tool. But one challenge with upvoting content, or when you're only upvoting content, is that you get kind of stale upvoted content. So the content that gets there first gets upvotes. As a result, it's high on the scoreboard,
right,
and therefore it remains high because it gets that benefit of visibility. What we've got in Commons is a tool that so people can like content, kind of like they do on Facebook, but it's a tool that sort of automatically detects which content is interesting, and it does that based on a variety of inputs. So people can like content, people can comment on a thread, mm-hmm. and as they do that, the activity level for that piece of content increases. And so the activity level is not something that we display anywhere, but it's just something that the common site knows about. And then that level decays over time. So the result of that is that you get a snapshot of content that has a lot of activity now. So
right.
Threads where a lot of people are posting, let's say, in the last 12 hours, where people are commenting or maybe liking that thread in the last 12 hours. And as a result, whenever you go to the site, you get a really up-to-date snapshot. So as a community member, it helps you find interesting content. as a community manager, it's useful because you don't have to manually moderate content. If you've got a site with thousands of people and they're all posting content, it can be really cumbersome to go through all that content and try to, you know, post the best of it to the front page.
Right.
You can still do that in comments, but you get the benefit of the system that does it for you. On the topic of helping people find interesting content, we've got a totally revamped follow system. So as a user on a comment site, I can follow another user, I can follow a topic, I can follow a group, or I can follow just an individual thread. And once I do that, I can choose to see an activity stream of activity on the site that is specific to things that I'm following. I can also choose to get email notifications about the things that I follow. And if I perhaps, let's say there's like a really noisy group that I'm interested in following. So let's say, for example, that's the New York group. For whatever reason, they're really noisy. They produce a lot of content. I can choose to get updates about that group in my activity stream, but not in my inbox. So I can get kind of the right level of notifications in the right places about the topics that are interesting to me.
Cool.
Yeah, and I could sort of go on talking about the features. One other one that's worth mentioning is a community spam moderation tool. So this is something that we deal with in the Drupal community. You know, we've got groups.drupal.org, which is a pretty active site. You know, 81,000 people or so have logged in the last 6 months. And as a result, we get spammers. And every now and then, there's a spam post and a spam user. And the way that we deal with that so far has been for people to report spam into the public issue queue. Then somebody who has the permissions on the site to moderate it goes and deletes the spam. And that's kind of a cumbersome process. What we're introducing with Comments 3 is a community spam moderation tool. So, and I should say that the first line of spam prevention in a comment site is Malum. So Malum is the service that's now part of Acquia, co-founded by Dries Bytart, who co-founded Acquia and Drupal, that does intelligent content analysis, and it uses data from across the web to determine whether a comment is spam or not, so that people don't have to fill in a CAPTCHA. Ideally, they can just submit that comment and it gets automatically, invisibly moderated.
Right, yeah, I'm using Malum on pretty much every site that I build, so yeah.
Yeah, it's a great tool. And so the idea in comments is that, you know, even as great a tool as Malum is, sometimes spam makes it through that filter. And so when spam does make it through the filter, anybody on the site can report a piece of content as inappropriate. And what happens is there's this administrative interface that lists content that's been reported as inappropriate, the time that it was last reported, and the number of people who've reported it, so that as a site, as a content moderator, I can then just check a box next to the inappropriate content, and with a single press of a button, I can delete the inappropriate content and block the account of the user who posted it so that they can't post anymore. Awesome. And one thing that we take advantage of in comments is Drupal's permission system. It makes it easy for us to assign the ability to access that interface to a trusted group of people on the site. So if there's some folks that have shown themselves to be trustable, I, as a site administrator, can grant them permission to delete spam that's been reported.
Yeah.
And that takes, you know, that frees me up as the community manager to focus on things like making my site more awesome by moderating content or creating content or something else.
Cool. I was just wondering while you were talking about this, is there somewhere that lists all of the available features in Commons? Is there a page that has that kind of thing?
Yeah, so I think that the best overview page is here at groups.drupal.org/node/244663. Can I paste that into the chat?
Maybe. Let me just write it down real quick and I'll make sure it gets in the show notes.
Okay, sure.
groups.drupal.org/node/244663.
And I can also give you for the show notes, a couple weeks ago, we at Acquia did a webinar showing what some of these features are going to look like in the upcoming version.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. And I should say that, you know, in addition to all these specific feature improvements, we've completely redesigned the user interface of Commons from the previous version, version 2. So, you know, Acquia does usability testing on our products, and we take that data and, you know, it's sometimes you can make incremental improvements to a product, but it can be difficult to just completely overhaul an existing product without changing the look and feel. People get, you know, people don't want their site to change. But with a new major version, like we've got with version 3, we have the opportunity to really rethink the interactions around the product, and that's what we've done. And so in addition to each of these specific feature improvements, we've got a completely redesigned product. Things like finding groups, contributing content into groups, all of that has been significantly improved.
Cool. I just wanted to, real quick, you mentioned the Acquia user experience testing. I actually just took part in, I'm trying to type while I write. I just took part in a user experience test yesterday, actually. It was pretty cool. And, you know, if anybody's listening and hasn't experienced that yet, you get like a $20 Amazon gift card for, you know, giving your time to do that. So I'm actually going to post a link in the notes to the place where you can sign up to get on the list to be notified if there's an experience user experience test they want to run. So
great. If you're interested. And did you have fun during the test?
I did. It was nice. We had issues with WebEx, but we did get through it. So
yeah, inevitably every meeting on a conference sharing tools tend to turn into a test of the conference sharing tool.
Right. Yeah. You need to just switch over to Google Plus Hangouts or something.
Yeah, this is going great so far.
Okay, let me find where we were again in the notes real quick. We talked about the features. Okay, so up until now, Drupal Commons has only been on Drupal 6.
Yes.
So what's the status of a Drupal 7 version?
Yeah, so everything I just talked about was related to Drupal Commons version 3, which is built on Drupal 7.
Okay.
So right now you can go to drupal.org/project-commons, and you can download the nightly development snapshot. So that's, you know, that's in an alpha 2 status right now. But we're making really rapid improvements to that all the time. And my goal is to have that out by mid-December.
Okay.
But you can start, you can build a site on it now. I would say, you know, maybe more advanced site builders and developers would want to start now. And as we get closer to a beta, that's when you'll know that things, you know, fundamental architecture kinds of things are less likely to change. Mm-hmm. But it's already a great tool. Even in its alpha status, it's not quite feature complete, but it's very close. And the theme is in progress, but already it's starting to look a lot like the design comps did.
Cool. So they can see the concept at the link we'll have in the show notes, but they can also download the dev snapshot and kind of poke around for themselves.
Exactly.
Cool. Okay, so my next question is more about Acquia as a company, because mm-hmm. you guys are the ones that are behind Commons now.
Yes.
Well, Acquia is a business, so how are you making money from the Commons distribution?
Right. It's a good question because, you know, we talk about the software, we list all these benefits, and people are like, wow, how much is that software? And we're like, well, it's free. And people are like, well, can we pay you in hugs? Like, how do you accept payment? And we do take actual money. So let me talk about how we justify this investment. You know, more broadly, we think of distributions as a way of advancing Drupal in general. Acquia is very much aligned with the success of Drupal. And so having these distributions out there is one way that we can help advance Drupal in general. Mm-hmm. It also helps us, it's easier to go to a customer and present a tool like Drupal Commons because of all the out-of-the-box value that you get
right.
Versus just Drupal Core, for example. So if you've got a customer who's considering Jive or considering Yammer, they'd be much more comfortable and reasonably so with a tool that happens to be built on top of Drupal than the theoretical ability to install Drupal and maybe there's some modules. They get this really robust application that has the benefits of social business software, but all the benefits that you get from building on Drupal. More specifically, we do offer some products and services, around Drupal Commons. So we offer a support service. So if you want 24/7 enterprise level support, you can get that for Commons. We have our Acquia cloud hosting platform, which is the best place to host Commons. If you want highly available, scalable web hosting platform, we've got Acquia Cloud, so we hope that folks will host with us. and we also do things like Jumpstart, so we can come to your company on site and spend a week or two helping you get started with Commons. Of course, we do refer professional services work to our partners, so if you want somebody to extend Drupal Commons, you can come to us and we can, either we can work with you on that or we can help you find a partner to do that work. So there are a range of revenue streams associated with the product.
Okay.
Even though it's free.
Right, cool. Okay, so 7.x is in alpha 2 stage now. What are the plans for Commons after the initial release?
Yeah, well, you know, certainly we'll continue to maintain it on at least a bug fix basis, but you'll also see us continue to improve by adding new features to comments incrementally. And you know, I can't say specifically what those will be, but I can give you a sense of the general areas where we'll be improving.
Okay.
Things that benefit communities in general. So things like analytics, helping you get really solid insight into what people are doing in your community, what things are working about your community, and what things aren't. Document management is another area where it's really common for folks to want to be able to collaborate around, you know, text documents and presentations. Commons ships with the ability to upload documents and to collaborate on wiki documents, but you know, I think you'll see some more robust offerings in that area. There's some built-in Apache Solr integration with Commons, so another one of our services that you get through. Oh, I left out a service. We have the Acquia network. The Acquia network, which participant. So, and I should even step back one step further. You can tell how much caffeine I had before the interview by how many steps back I'm taking. To step back, you know, one step further, we sort of think about our products and services in terms of tools, support, and you know, our knowledge base, so information. And the Acquia network is something that you can subscribe to that comes with a wide variety of tools, so things like New Relic to do performance analysis on your site. Learning tools like the buildamodule.com is one, you know, source of training that you get. So that's another revenue stream.
Right, okay.
So I think you can see, so, and one of those is Acquia Search, which is a hosted version of the Apache Solr service, which is a really robust, powerful search tool. It indexes a lot of different kinds of content and makes it super fast to search even really large you know, amounts of content. For example, sites like The Economist, which have this huge archive of information, power their search with Apache Solr and Acquia Search.
Okay.
And so that's one integration point for Commons. So you don't have to have Apache Solr to search within Commons, but if you do, you get the benefit of Apache Solr faceting. And I think that you can see, you know, we'll probably do some more exploration of how we can make that experience even better in Commons through the network.
Cool.
So that was the short answer.
Right. Okay, how can people get involved now if they want to help speed up the process of an initial release?
That's a great question. And I should say that we're really excited to get people involved. You know, we measure the number of people who are commenting in the Commons issue queue, the number of patches that we receive from people outside of Acquia. And that's data that we really consider strongly in terms of whether the product is succeeding. We want Commons to be a successful product on its own right, you know, in addition to the way that it's a successful open source project in that it's built on top of Drupal. Mm-hmm. You can jump into the Drupal Commons issue queue. You can find me and other folks who are working on Commons in IRC in the Drupal-Commons chat room on Freenode. And those are really the two best places, but you can also feel free to tweet at me or you know, to contact me through my Drupal.org contact form. But I would say that the issue queue and the IRC room are the best places. There's also a group on groups.drupal.org.
Okay. Is there anything specific that you can think of right now that actually does need work?
Yeah, I mean, so you know, as with any software alpha, there are a number of outstanding bugs and some features that remain before we can call this a 3.0 release. And those are all, you know, all the known ones are outlined in the Commons issue queue.
Okay, cool.
So there's a smorgasbord of available things to work on.
Okay, my next question was kind of about use cases. This is probably going to have to be around Drupal 6 since Drupal 7 is still in Alpha 2, but mm-hmm. Are there any sites, either medium or high profile, that you know of right now that are running on a Commons distribution install?
Yeah, so one that we talked about during the Commons webinar is a site by Mercedes, and they were doing kind of a brand exercise site where they had people interested in the Mercedes brand, and they built a community for them. And they made some customizations on top of that, but you know, they really did use a lot of the Commons features to build that site. So that's one really solid one. I know that Stanford's Graduate School of Business has been a kind of a Commons beta customer for us for a while. And there's a bunch of them. I don't have the list in front of me, but we did two great case studies that we talked about in the Common webinar. So I would encourage folks to check that out.
Okay, cool. Let's see. We kind of talked about how they can get involved, and the best way to download the Drupal 7 version, is that on the Acquia site or on?
It's actually on the Drupal.org Commons site.
Okay, so it's on the project page. Cool.
Yeah, the Drupal 6 version of Commons was, the code base is on Drupal.org, but it historically wasn't developed using the packager, the Drupal.org distribution packager.
Okay.
Which is why the 6 version you download from Acquia.com.
Gotcha. Cool. Well, that's everything I had in my show notes. So we've got still a handful of viewers right now. We've got two questions that came in and one that came in before the show, so we'll ask those in just a second. But again, if you do have any questions, you can send us a tweet using the hashtag MUP047, because this is episode 47 of the podcast. And we'll answer those as soon as we're done with these other two. So the first one we got before the show was actually not as much about Commons, but more about Drupal and Acquia Drupal in general. And Laughing Bird Limited, or Laughing Bird One on Twitter, asked if you can actually run Drupal and Acquia Drupal on a local PC with Windows 8.
Yeah, you can download. So the Acquia Dev Desktop utility is a great way to get started installing Drupal. And it's a cross-platform utility, so it's on Windows and Mac. I don't know if it's on, I actually don't recall whether it's on Linux, but it's definitely available for Windows and Mac. And that's a great way to install Acquia Drupal and also Drupal Commons. And actually, I just remembered one other important answer to your question about where else can we see Commons. So soon, one of the plans for Commons is to move the groups.drupal.org site over to it. And so this is something that personally I'm really excited to see. As I mentioned, you know, like 81,000 or so people logged into GDO in the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. So this is a really central community collaboration space. And you know, folks like Greg Kanadison have done an amazing job of maintaining the site historically. And you know, myself and Scott Rainin have taken over maintaining the site with the goal of moving it to Commons once Commons comes out. And so you know, the benefit there to Commons is that we align the interest of Commons or the interest of the community a little bit more directly. So if somebody wants to contribute to groups.drupal.org, historically there wasn't really much of a, it wasn't clear how to do that as an outside contributor. With GDO running on Commons, the path to contributing is much more clear. We file a patch to Commons and we deploy the new version of Commons to GDO. And the benefit there is the same benefit that any site running a distribution would get. It's easier to maintain, more people are running the same code base and that whole set of benefits. But of course, it means kind of the first real overhaul in terms of design and functionality that GDO has seen in quite a while. So I'm really excited to, you know, to work on that, and also ideally to work with some volunteers on that migration.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, let's go into our next question. This one's from Donna Benjamin. She's at Catacrab on Twitter.
Yeah. And hey, Donna.
Yeah, I was going to say, hi, Donna. She was actually on the show not too long ago, so it's cool she's listening. But she wants to know, can you also give us a quick update on the conference organizing distribution?
Sure. So I owe the world a blog post about COD. but the first update is that you may have seen an Alpha 1 release that was recently rolled. And that was rolled by Jacob Perry, who is the new recently appointed co-maintainer of COD. So Jacob has been a longtime contributor to COD, going back, you know, at least as early as DrupalCon Denver. He showed up at basically all the COD sprints and has made some really solid contributions. And I think his original motivation for working on COD was because he's an organizer for the Linux Fest Northwest conference. And he's working on that site's website and contributing those enhancements back to COD and helping others to contribute. So now that we have Jacob working on that, I think that we'll probably see a Drupal 7 release. My hope is by the end of the year, but if not, I think that we'll see a full release first quarter of 2013. But already, you know, since Jacob has joined the project, it's been moving forward much faster. Just because of my current focus on Commons, I'm not able to be as active as I was previously on COD, but, there's nothing better than a great co-maintainer, and that's absolutely what Jacob is.
Awesome. And then I'm going to butcher this name, but Nitin Mudgal or In Mudgal on Twitter asks if you have any thoughts or plans of VoIP integration with Drupal Commons in its core, like for updating content.
For updating content, that's interesting. So
yeah.
I guess that would mean that you would like speak to the site and it would update content.
Maybe. I'm really not sure.
That would be very cool. I don't have any plans currently to implement that into the core of Drupal Commons, but you know, the answer to the question about whether a particular feature is going to be included is always that you don't have to wait for it to appear in the Acquia roadmap. You can add that feature today. If there's a Drupal module for that, you can add that to your Commons site. And if you think it's something that should be included in the core Commons package, you know, you can certainly file a patch and we'll work with you to evaluate that and if it makes sense to bring it in.
Cool. Okay, last chance to send any more questions in if you've got them. We're going to go ahead and do the wrap-up, and then if there are any more questions at the end of that, we'll ask those and answer those then.
Can I take a moment to say thanks to the folks who have contributed so far to Commons?
Sure.
To the
effort? Of course.
So, and this is by no means a complete list, so you're going to, please forgive me if I don't mention everybody, but folks, and I'll go by, you know, by handles and first names, but so Gene Nugget, Pierre, and you know, Joseph Pontani, Chris Plakis, Eric Webb, and you know, Mario Marik, all people who have contributed to Commons, and I know I'm forgetting other specific names, but you know, if you do contribute, you'll definitely be mentioned at least in the release notes. So you know, that's great.
Cool.
So thanks to those folks.
Yes, thank you guys. Okay, first question for you. Not about Commons, but is there something that you are excited about that's maybe up and coming, but that you're not working on?
That I'm not working on.
Right.
So not related to Commons.
I suppose it could be related to Commons, just something that you're not working on that you've kind of seen on a distance and thought, that looks really cool.
Yeah. Related to Drupal. there's a lot of exciting things going on right now. You know, personally, I think let me pause and think about that.
Okay.
I'm actually really excited about the conference organizing distribution Drupal 7 work. And you know, since I sort of stepped to the side on that to focus on Commons, that's been something where I feel like I'm involved at maybe an architectural level, but and you know, I'll review a patch here and there. But it's really Jacob who's taking the lead on that these days. And so that's something that I'm you know personally excited about. I still feel really invested in that project, and I think it's a great one both for Drupal, for the community, but also for Drupal in the sense that there's this whole underserved market of people who are totally beholden to these, like really, you know, let's say not high-tech hosted event registration services. And I think that that's a really big opportunity for Drupal to come into a market that's, you know, that's not well-served or that could be better served and to let Drupal's strengths serve people really well. I mean, there's all sorts of things that we take for granted, I think, in Drupal, like responsive design and solid APIs and a lot of interactivity, community sites and things like that, that people who are running conferences just don't have because they run their conference through, you know, a more constricted proprietary registration system. And so I'm excited to see COD go, you know, take that market, you know, a little more aggressively.
Cool. And where can people find out more about you and what you're working on?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at EzraBG, and you can follow you know these days since most of what I'm working on is Commons, you can follow the Commons issue queue.
Cool. I did get a couple more tweets in real quick. The first is from G Nugget, and he says, "My real name is David Valdez." So there you go.
Absolutely, I did.
And then Donna said, where did it go? She's looking forward to the blog post about COD, I assume.
And, yes.
She says, very much agree that COD is a great base. I've looked at some horrible conference registration systems. So another plus one for COD. Cool. Well, Ezra, thanks for coming on. This was very informative. I'm really glad that you were able to make it and talk to me about this. And I'm glad that everybody who was here listening live got to ask their questions, and there's going to be hundreds of people that listen to the recording later, and so don't be worried if a lot of people start joining in.
Great. Well, thanks. Thanks so much. Yeah, and again, you can get involved in the Drupal-Comments room in IRC and at the Commons issue queue at drupal.org/project/comments. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you later.
Take care.
If you liked this episode, check out modulesunraveled.com/podcast to get more information about it. And while you're there, you can listen to other episodes or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or your favorite podcast software. Also, check out the Drupal videos on the site. There are a number of series available, each teaching various subjects in Drupal 7, like setting up a newsletter, configuring organic groups, or how to make the images on your site responsive to complement your responsive design. Thanks for listening. Feel free to get in touch and keep those suggestions coming about who you want to hear from on the podcast. That's it for this episode of the Modules Unraveled podcast, and I'll talk to you next week. We'll be right back.